always. So yes, we're going to look at this mercy seat. I'm going to start reading in verse 17 and go down through 22. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. A cubit and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherub on one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment to the children of Israel. But you can see those two cherubims. You can see the thing made out of gold. Last week we dealt with the ark of the testimony. It was overlaid with gold. It was made out of shittim wood, signifying our humanity, the humanity of our blessed Savior. Then it was covered with gold, showing the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how that the law was kept in that Ark of the Covenant. And our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that holy and blessed law. And when we, and I want to talk tonight about Christ being our mercy seat. You know, when we say that Christ is all and in all, it's not just religious talk. It's not just religious words without meaning. When we say Christ is all and in all, we really know that. We really, really believe that Christ is all and in all. And I tell you, and it's true, it's real, it's scriptural. And it's our experience that Christ is all. God made His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, His blessed and beloved Son, unto us, all that we need while we're here in this time. Everything we need right here while we're living in this world, God made Christ unto us all we need now. And He made Christ all we'll need and all we want throughout eternity. If you think He's all in all now, wait till you get to eternity and see as He is. Huh? And the Old Testament, I've told you this time and time again, is full of pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's one, is the mercy seat in the tabernacle. And wherever you find a type in the Old Testament, you'll find its fulfillment in the New Testament, in the substance of it. You'll find, if it's a type here, you'll find its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. First thing I want to talk about is this mercy seat. Look what it says there in verse 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Ain't going to be no wood involved in this. Pure gold. When they put that Ark of the Covenant and they laid that mercy seat on top of it, pure gold. Solid gold. Is about that long and about that wide. Pure gold. Pure gold. Solid gold. And it was the lid of the ark that was made, overlaid with the gold. And according to how, what was the most worth thing, the thing that had the most value to it, in the tabernacle of all the holy vessels, was this mercy seat. This one made out of pure gold. And this tells us of the preciousness and the value and the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ to His Father, of which that mercy seat was just a shadow, was just a type. And I tell you what, you're talking about gold and precious. The blood of Christ is precious. Faith is precious. And God, indeed, you're talking about precious. He's precious to His Father. And that's why that mercy seat was just a shadow, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you what mercy seat means. Mercy seat means propitiating, propitiatory. And what that means, it's got its name from the blood of propitiation, which is sprinkled on this mercy seat. And propitiation means this, a sacrifice to satisfy. When someone's propitiated, God was propitiated by the blood on that mercy seat. He was satisfied with the blood and sacrifices put on that mercy seat. Secondly, propitiation also means to pacify, to appease, to take away the anger of an offended party. Well, the anger of God was taken away through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when God saw that blood on the mercy seat, He was pacified. He was appeased, and His wrath was put away for another year. And then it also means to make reconciliation, to bring offended parties together. And God Himself made reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ, not imputing their sins unto them. Now I want you to show you its fulfillment in the New Testament. Look in Romans chapter 3. I want to show you something in Romans chapter 3. This mercy seat. This is what we're talking about right here. But I really need to read two verses of Scripture here. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Mercy seat. Let's fulfill it. Here's where we see it in the New Testament. Being justified freely by His grace, through redemption, through the payment price, through the bloodshedding, through the death that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. Whom God set forth. God set Him forth. God set Him forth from His birth, in His life, on His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension. God set Christ forth. What did He set Him forth to do and foreordained to do this? To be a propitiation. To be an atoning victim, a sacrifice to satisfy God. A sacrifice to appease the wrath of God. A sacrifice to reconcile us to God. He made Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. There's your sacrifice. To declare how righteous God is for the payment of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And I tell you what, beloved, John said it like this. Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation. Propitiation for our sins, not for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And the mercy seat where God met me. I'm going to show you another one. Look in Luke 18. Here's a perfect picture of it. Just what I'm talking about. About how God, you know, that in the mercy seat. Look in Luke 18 and verse 10. His fulfillment was the Lord Jesus Christ. God set Him forth to be a propitiation, a sacrifice to satisfy God, a sacrifice to appease God's wrath and put it away, and reconciled us to God by the blood of His cross. Now look what it said here in Luke 18. I done lost it again. Forgive me. I was looking at something else. Talking about something else. Can't do two things at one time. You know, people talk about being multitasked. I'm not one of them. I don't do one thing at a time. You know, if you get me doing, try to do two things at the same time, you done messed up. But look what it said here in Luke 18 and verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and I'm not even like this publican that's sitting over here praying. And I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, this is the difference, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, because that's where his trouble was, his heart, and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that word merciful means, God, be propitiated toward me. Please let that mercy, that sacrifice that's on that altar, let that bloodshedding on that altar, let it be a satisfaction to you. Let it take your wrath off of me. And, oh God, let me be reconciled to you. And that's what he's saying. God, be propitiated toward me, the sinner. Let you be satisfied with that sacrifice. Let you be appeased with that sacrifice. Let me be reconciled according to that sacrifice. And that's what he's saying. And that's the only thing we can say. Oh God, be merciful to me. And be merciful to me for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Now back over in our text here, back in Exodus 25 and verse 22. This mercy seat. Oh, this pure gold mercy seat. Valuable. Oh, the most valuable piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And he said, God said, and there, verse 22, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. This mercy seat was where God met man. This is the place where God met man. God, the scriptures tells us, he said, there I'll meet with you. There I'll commune with you. You know, when that God only met with men, there on the mercy seat, it was after the blood was sprinkled, after the blood was shed, after the blood was put on that mercy seat. And I tell you, oh, God's wrath was appeased when that sprinkling of blood was put on there. His law was honored in that Ark of the Testament. God is satisfied when he sees that blood. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto him. And God gave his rest to be on that mercy seat. And God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has become God's rest, if I can say it that way. And that place where he meets us in now and can meet sinners in all of his glorious grace is in one place. That's his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not, as Scott said, I heard him say it, I couldn't tell you the times. God will not speak to nor be spoken to by any member of the human race except through his blessed Son. And God can meet us in grace because of the propitiation that our Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross. God said, I'm satisfied with him. I'm at rest in him. I have nothing against a man anymore. And all of my people, I've not got anything against them. Blood's been shed, and it's on that mercy seat. And I'm going to tell you something else. Oh, I was reading this afternoon, looking at it again, and oh my. I'm going to say this. The mercy seat was reserved for God himself, who sat between the cherubims. Mercy, what it's saying is, you know it says mercy seat, mercy sits here. That's what God says. Mercy sits right here. That's where it sits. Mercy sits right there. And only person who had a seat in that tabernacle was God himself. It was a seat of mercy. And this was just a shadow, a foreshadow of the truth that God, in his blessed mercy, would find his rest and his satisfaction in the perfect work of his incarnate Son that he would perform. And I show you that the mercy seat was God's throne in the midst of Israel. Look over at Psalm 80 and verse 1. Oh, this is where God sat. How do you think he's going to commune with us? This is what's called a mercy seat. Psalm 80 and verse 1. Mercy sits here. Ain't you thankful there's a place where mercy sits? That mercy's found? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be propitiated toward me, the sinner. And that mercy seat was God's throne in the midst of Israel. Look what he said here in Psalm 80 and verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that ledest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Look over here in Psalm 99 in verse 1. He dwells. Ain't that what it just said? Dwells between the cherubims? Look at Psalms 99 and verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims, and the earth won't be moved. God said, here's that mercy seat there. Got them two cherubims. They're facing one another. And their wings are reaching up like this, and their faces are showing toward one another, right over that mercy seat. And God's right there. He says, my throne, that mercy seat is my throne. That's where I dwell. That's my throne. That's where I dwell, between them mercy seats, between them cherubims. Now here's the eternal question. How is it possible for God? This is an eternal question. How is it possible for the thrice holy God to dwell in the midst of a sinful people? How is it possible? Only one way, by an acceptable sacrifice. That's the only way. By a sacrifice that He provides, and what He provides, He accepts. And the sacrifice, the blood shedding, actually took place outside the... When they first went in there, there's a big brazen altar. And that altar is made out of brass. Big brazen altar. It's called brass. And they had that grate in there, and they'd bring, had horns on either corner of it, and they'd bring a sacrifice in there, and they'd cut his throat and drain his blood into a basin. And the blood shedding actually took place at the brazen altar. But when the high priest went once behind that veil, once a year, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat, we see the Father accepting that sacrifice. Look with me in Leviticus. Leviticus. Next one right out after Exodus. Leviticus 16 and verse 14. Oh, the blood shedding was out there on the brazen altar. There's where the sacrifice was consumed. But He took that blood, and He took it into that holy place, the holiest of holies. And that blood was shed there and sprinkled. Look what He said in verse 14. And He shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with His finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall He sprinkle of the blood with His finger seven times. Then shall He kill the goat of the sin offering, that's for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and do with that blood as He did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Oh my. When that high priest went behind that veil, two veils in the tabernacle. There was a veil into the holy place, where the furniture was. And then there's a veil, and then the only furniture inside behind that veil of the holiest of holies, 15 by 15. There was an altar of incense in there, and there was a mercy seat. That's all that was in there. Now how that high priest went behind that veil, I don't know. And you can see what the veil's like when you go through there and see the color of it. Whether he went behind it, whether he raised it up and went under it, I don't know how he went behind it. But I knew, though, that he had to go behind it, and he had to take blood behind it. And when that high priest went behind that veil, and he got to that mercy seat, he took that basin of blood and sprinkled it seven times. And when he was there, he was under the all-searching eye of God Almighty. And if he didn't bring the right sacrifice and didn't do the blood right and didn't do everything just exactly like God told him to, that meant that beloved God would kill him. And that's why that shepherd's hook was for, to reach under there and get him by the ankle and pull him out. And that's why he had bells. You look on his garments when you look in that thing. He had bells on the bottom of his garments, so that when he was moving around in there, the priest outside there could hear him. And he's moving around behind there, and I tell you what, if he come back from out from behind that veil, and the blood had been sprinkled, you know what that meant? That God said, I'm satisfied. I accept that blood. That blood satisfied me. I accepted that sacrifice. I accepted that blood. Sins put away for 1 year only. Christ put a sin away once and for all. And God is satisfied. Our Lord Jesus Christ's death has brought us life. You know how death was defeated? Through death. Christ had to die to destroy the power of death. And Christ was raised from the dead to destroy the power of the grave. And beloved, God is satisfied with the death of His blessed Son. And His death and His blood secured our life in this world, and especially in the world to come. And now God, as I started out saying, this is the eternal question. How can God, a holy God, dwell among a sinful people? I tell you how He can do it. Because Christ died. Christ secured our life. Christ put away our sin. Christ is our mercy seat. And now God can righteously come and dwell among His people for Christ. Bless His holy name. And the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where Jehovah met the sinner. Listen to this. In the person of a representative. You know, when that high priest went behind that veil, he was just a representative. He is representing all of Israel. He was in there, one man was representing everybody else. And there's only one man that represents all of us. And it was only the high priest was allowed to go by there once a year. But you know what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ now? About where our high priest at? Said he appears now in the presence of God for us. Not in the holiest of holies, in the presence of God for us. And oh, that mercy seat that was in that holy of holies, listen to this, was hidden from view of the sinner. Yeah, but you know the people sitting outside, the folks standing outside that tabernacle, all those tribes gathered around there, knowing it was the day of atonement, knowing it was the day to put sin away. They couldn't see behind that veil. They couldn't see that mercy seat. That thing was out of sight. That high priest was out of sight. And they desired to approach God. But yet they couldn't approach Him because it was out of sight. They couldn't see it. And I'm telling you, beloved, our salvation was accomplished for us before you and I ever existed. We never even thought of it. We never saw it. We didn't know anything about it. And yet, He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was the one that God set forth to be our propitiation. And God's throne of grace is not visible, only by faith. And I tell you, that mercy seat, that was hidden from view. And you know, Christ, when He died 2,000 years ago, my salvation was perfect and complete and as good as done. It was done. It was done. When did I find out it was done? Oh, I was probably 30 years old. might have been younger than that, might have been older than that. But me knowing it, make it any better, make it any real, any more accomplished. So those folks not seeing what went on behind that holiest of holies in that bloodshedding, it never changed what happened to them on the outside, and they never saw it. And we never saw it until God came and revealed it to us and made us to know it. And I tell you something, beloved, we've never, ever seen into glory itself except by faith. We've never seen the throne of grace except by faith. The truth of His mercy seat and the blood sprinkling on it is that God has entirely, oh, listen to me now, listen. The truth of this mercy seat and the blood sprinkled on it, that God set us aside, set us entirely aside, and acted for Himself in saving us. You know, that's what I'm telling you. You know, that mercy seat, those people weren't there at that mercy seat. They couldn't even see it. And God set everything aside, and He had this blood shed on there just for Himself, to satisfy Himself, to honor Himself, to satisfy Himself. And beloved, and God set us aside, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our mercy seat, is our blood sacrifice and our atoning. Bless His holy name. The only way we're accepted in that is because He went behind the veil. He went into the holiest of holies. And now, beloved, everything He accomplished is ours. It's ours. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. I want you to look at this over here in Exodus 25 and verse 11. It said it had a crown of gold on it. Look what He said in verse 11. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make a crown of gold round about it. Now the ark had a crown of gold around it. So when they put that mercy seat in there, that crown of gold held that mercy seat down, held that mercy seat in there. It couldn't slide. It wouldn't slide. It wouldn't move. Wouldn't move. And if you removed that mercy seat, lifted it up and looked in it, you know what happened to you? I'll show you. Look over in 1 Samuel 6. Look over here in 1 Samuel 6. That crown of gold was on there to show you how glorious this was. You know, the Philistines sold the ark, stole it. And they... He smote the men of Beth Shemeth because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He smote of the people 50,000, 70 people. 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And listen to this now. And the men of Beth Shemeth said this, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? Oh, you take that mercy seat away, what do you got? Judgment, condemnation, and wrath. And the scriptures tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, was crowned with glory and honor. And he's crowned with glory and honor, and he'll always be crowned with glory and honor. And he sits upon his Father's throne. And as long as our Lord Jesus Christ is acceptable to his Father, mercy, mercy, mercy is sure to all his people. Even the sure mercies of David. His mercy is sure to all his people. When he arises, mercy stops. What's going to happen then? Judgment's going to fall. Judgment's going to fall. And it'll be awful when judgment falls. Judgment begins at the house of God. God done judged this generation for the last few decades by turning it over to a reprobate mind with reprobate preachers. But the mercy seat is also a place of communion. Ain't that what he said in verse 22? I'll meet you there and I'll commune with you. Communion means to be one with, to be in union with. There I'll meet with you. I'll commune with you. On what basis? On the blood that was sprinkled on that mercy seat. I'll commune with you because blood's been here. This is where mercy sits. And when that blood was sprinkled on there, God was satisfied. And when he sprinkled it 7 times, that shows our perfect and complete standing before the Father. And no wonder the apostle said, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Our Father, in the precious name, blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your gospel. I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for being our mercy seat, for being our propitiation, for being the one that satisfied you, that took your wrath away from us, that reconciled us by his blood. Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ did it all. All to him we owe. And we're so thankful. And we bless your holy name that you sat at a seat of mercy. And we can come to a throne of mercy, throne of grace, find mercy and obtain mercy. And Lord, we come because we're needy people. We have no abilities of our own but what you gave us. We have no gifts but what you gave us. We have no understanding but what you gave us. We have no hope but what you gave us. We have no salvation but what you gave us. And so, Lord, we bless you. We bless you for the glorious, blessed salvation you gave us in your Son. And you taught us in your Word how that he's everything in your Word, that he is all and in all, and we see it over and over and over again. God bless these dear saints as they go home, and we pray for the sick among us, the frail among us. We pray for Bill and Dorothy, Bruce and Sandy. Pray for Annie. Pray for Fran. Lord, these are people you love. Bruce and Joe, these are people you love. And we bring them to you, knowing you'll do what's right with every single one of them. We praise you and bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. See you Wednesday, God willing.